This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Raphael Barker is the type of person who deliberately puts himself in uncomfortable situations. He also likes sex.
I don't know. I kind of consider myself sort of a low-grade kind of perv, on some level.
So Raphael didn't hesitate when he stumbled across an audition call for a movie that would feature explicit sex. He made a tape and sent it in.
I had no idea I would get a call back.
Though far from pornography, the movie Shortbus shows real sex and believable emotional vulnerability. The movie opens with Raphael and the woman who plays his wife going at it. Lying in bed in what should be post-coital bliss, she drops a hint that she cannot orgasm. Raphael knew the experience from the inside out. Join us this week on A Taste of Sex as we hear from Raphael Barker on what it was like to expose himself so completely, both physically and emotionally, on film. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on. Before Shortbus, Raphael's formal acting experience consisted of doing impersonations for his parents.
So I often did impression of a Pakistani businessman would be like, or a Southern Baptist preacher man. And I would just kind of go on these improvised monologues and just crack them up. I got my associates in liberal arts studies when I was living overseas. And then I finished my bachelor's in Buddhist and Western psychology. So that was what I was planning on doing with my life, was to become a therapist and, counsel people.
Life took a turn with the purchase of his first laptop.
My habits were to download MP3s or look at porn. And after a while, and then I was okay, I gotta bring this up a notch, at least make it middle brow.
He found Nerve.com, an online magazine known for its frank discussion about sex.
It was just auspicious because then it was this interview with John Cameron Mitchell in it. And then there was a hyperlink to the website and to auditioning for this film. And I don't know, I kind of consider myself sort of a low-grade kind of perv on some level. So it was just, I was really intrigued on the idea and, frankly, a bit of a voyeurist. Exhibitionist. I don't really care to watch. But yeah, I was just very interested in the idea, frankly. There's this part of me that feels I'm this sort of, I'm a straight male, but not what I typically perceive as what a straight male is like. I kind of wanted my sexuality to be seen and accepted, on some level. I mean, the partner I was seeing at the time, we were kind of going to places that I hadn't really kind of gone before. What would be like to experience her menstrual blood on my body, or just kind of going pee play or things that to really kind of go just go to these raw, very raw kind of places. The interesting thing is we talked recently and I had this total fantasy of what our sex life was like, and I'm even speaking really highly about it now, but I think she couldn't orgasm. I think she even possibly faked it. The audition process wasn't a typical process that I'm kind of go through more now, of like a cold read or a monologue. The audition process for Shortbus was really, initially it was just like creating a tape, like a videotape, and like sending it in. I was just happy to get the tape out. I mean, we're living in Colorado, which it's not quite the West Coast, but there's a sort of quality of like, it's all good. You know, like the months, your days can become months really easily. There's this sort of experience of this sort of Island of the Lotus Eaters kind of quality. It's just so comfortable. I didn't have a headshot or anything. I mean, I like printed out a photograph that my partner took of me, you know. I had no idea I would get a call back. During the callbacks, I think a lot of us had some anxiety that, oh my gosh, they're going to make us like fornicate now or something and film us as part of the audition process. And what I realized from there and then really all the way to the end is that kind of like the actual sexual act was sort of like, it was only the tip of the iceberg. You know, there was all these other things that we sort of explored.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. We'll hear more from Raphael Barker after this short break.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, erotic poetry reading, a companion program to life in an orgasm-based community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
This is A Taste of Sex.
Honestly, I feel like I was ready from the beginning to sort of like kind of push it. For whatever reason, the universe gave me something else to work with. Yeah, we had some sort of personal issues to sort of work out before we could even get to that place. You know, she was in a relationship and felt like it might upset the relationship. But it wasn't until at one point the director had it was the three of us in a room alone at the producer's like attic apartment in Brooklyn, and had the door closed, and the three of us got naked together, and we just kind of walked around and just like walked around for a little bit and kind of took each other's bodies into our eyes, like just allowed ourselves to sort of like look at each other and kind of size each other up, so to speak, just really kind of, oh, you're built like that, and oh, your nipples are like that, and your cock's like that, and pubic hair's like this, and eventually, like, Sukyun and I, like, cuddle, like, kind of, like, lay down together, and we touch each other's body, like, slowly, and, I mean, there was, like, a lot of fear and anxiety there, and it was just, was with it, you know, just stayed with it, and eventually we kind of cuddled. And the director was like, ah, like, this is the film right there.
After 2.5 years of buildup, the day finally came to film the sex.
Do I wear a condom? Like, you know, we got tested, but wanted to do it, like, safe. But, you know, they probably not wear a condom if they've been together for 7 years. And do you female condom? You know, I tried on condoms, like, you'll like see the making of documentary. I mean, see me trying on trying to find transparent or translucent condoms, see if you can fake it, and makeup people would try to like draw on a condom, try to do veins or something. It just didn't work, you know? So, you know, eventually we settled on a female condom, which was like, I don't know, a combination of, yeah, it was like having sex with like cold jelly. I mean, it wasn't very pleasurable at all. And what was another interesting thing is that the fact that, you know, they kept it a very close set, meaning that it was just maybe me, the camera person, and the director, and, the other actress. But what I had to keep in perspective is that, like, that little, like, dot in the center of that lens is a portal to the whole world. I mean, it's possibly a portal to the whole world. So I had, it was really intense. Thank you. And there was one time that I, like, you know, was during the masturbation scene, actually, like, you know, came, because it was like three, we did it in three different takes, and ended up, like, you know, try to, like, stroke myself back to having a hard on, and then, like, all of a sudden I would, yeah, like, at one point I actually brought myself to orgasm. I was like, oh, whoops, sorry, fellas, I just had an orgasm, you know, and I just, you know, came on the director's shoes and everything, and it was just, like, it was wild. It was totally wild. I'm just talking about it now, I'm like, what? What were we doing? Like, what were we thinking? Yeah, so after the film, there was just, like, this dead air. I mean, it was now off into post-production. And it's like, okay, back to life. And I went back to Colorado, and I shot another film. And it was just, on some level, business as usual. And then I moved to California, you know, to chase after this girl and supposedly start graduate school in counseling psychology. So, and then this girl that I was obsessed with, like, decided that we should split up, like, a week and a half into moving here. And I lost my iPod and decided not to go to school to pursue acting, and end up living in an Aikido dojo for 5 months in Richmond, serving my, like, lesbian sixth, like, black belt Don, my teacher. And then all of a sudden the film was finally done. I was like, okay. And then it was submitted to Cannes and other festivals, and then we got invited to Cannes. We didn't really even have any money yet. I mean, we all had to stay, share rooms, and then the premiere of it happened to an audience of like 2,100 or something. Walking up the red carpet, brought in with these limousines and shown on this huge four-story screen, the most, like, you know, prestigious, like, cinema of the world, and to a standing ovation of normally very sort of cynical French film viewers, that they followed us into the street. Like, it was amazing. It was like, wow, this film does matter. I knew that for me, as a human being living this body and being in the world right now, is that I knew that I wanted it to be a journey for myself, but because it's a film and it's for the world, I want it to serve some sort of purpose. Like, how can I, in a sense, you know, tikkun olam, you know, like, heal the world, you know, but from, like, a different, sort of different way. And I wanted, like, my quirkiness, you know, and the vulnerability that I showed, like, be some sort of model in some way that, like, we all, like, sex is just quirky, and we're these bizarre and beautiful participants, and, like, it's okay. You know, we might not know the answer and might be stumbling through life on some level, but to just have compassion for that process.
You've been listening to A Taste of Sex. You can find us on the web at personallifemedia.com. For more information about One Taste, check us out at onetastesf.com. Music on this episode was composed and performed by Aharon Bolsta. I'm Judy Silber. Tune in and turn on.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.